Wait a minute. If you're at home, you need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down on your knees. Lift your hands. Open your mouth. Throw your head back. And just begin to call the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. Call him Lord, 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 Lord.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT.
No worry.
Got the gospel
be all right.
Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I...
Glory to God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful once again for the privilege to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can. Let him take the text that we're teaching and tailor it to meet us and reach us right where we are. And then equip us and empower us to be lifted to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless. God bless. As you are seated tonight, we are grateful again for the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with you tonight and to go into the text and just remind us afresh about the power that is in the blood of the precious Lamb of Jesus Christ. And so our topic tonight is, do you really understand the power of the blood? Do you really understand the power of the blood? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now I want to look at the word redeemed or redemption. I want to break it down and define it for you, and I want you to see what it says. It says to recover ownership of by paying a specified sum to pay off. How many of you know that ownership of our souls was first given was first had by the Lord Jesus Christ, Adam's sin, transferring that ownership over to Satan. And so the Lord desired to redeem mankind, to buy him back by paying a specified sum. And that was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the only thing weighty and worthy enough to pay the ransom for our souls, to turn in and receive something in exchange to fulfill. All of these are terms of understanding of what Jesus did with the precious power of his blood for the souls of all mankind, those who would accept him as Savior and Lord, to set free, deliverance, rescue, or ransom. Now, all of this is power in the blood to set you free, to deliver you from whatever binds you, holds you, whatever has you hooked, whatever has a great hold or captive hold on you, to rescue from you from something, or to pay the cost that is above what you are able to pay in a ransom. All of that is found in his blood. To save from a state of sinfulness and its consequences. How many of you really know that if Jesus had not come and given himself as a ransom and shed his blood, that we too would have died in our sins and ended up in an eternal hell? That's the consequences of our sins. For the wages of sin is death, and that's eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And to make up for, talking about redeemed or redemption, to restore the honor, worth, or reputation of. Now, do you realize, I don't care how far you've fallen, I don't care how much you've done, how bad you've been, how dark your situation has been, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you are cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will make up for all of the mess that the enemy has caused in your life, all that the cankerworm has destroyed in your life, everything that you may have lost in being with the devil. The power of the blood and being in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to make up for that. Somebody said in a song, one day with Jesus will be worth all that I've ever had to go through. Just one day with him will make up for everything that you've lost in being on the wrong team, on the wrong side for too long. To restore the honor. When you really realize how powerful this blood is and what it can do for the believer, I mean, Satan steals your honor. He takes away from you your dignity. He takes and steals from you those things that God had given to you naturally as a child of God, as a believer, as a person that he had originally designed. This was the original intent and purpose for mankind. But when Adam sinned, passed on death-carrying, polluted blood kind to all men, we were then born in sin. Not only were we born in sin, but then we were fashioned or shapen in iniquity by those things we were surrounded with, what we saw in our eye gate, what we heard in our ear gate, what we thought in the mind, et cetera, et cetera. We were shapen in iniquity because we learned what we lived. And so what we were exposed to had an impact upon us. And that's why it's important to be careful who you hang out with, who you associate with. And you may say right now, I don't do that. But if you hang out long enough, the influences of those you hang out with will rub off on you. It is true in more ways than you realize. You may not curse now, but hang around a lot of curses. And something that happened one day, and one of them words you used to hear them say, and you'd be like, oh my God, what the? That ain't me. No, but that's who you've been hanging out with. Your association brings on a assimilation. And so you need to recognize that. But he restores your honor and your worth and your reputation. But the devil has disguised himself as being good for you and realized was the detriment of you, or trying ultimately to destroy you. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're under the covering of his blood, again, he restores something to you so wonderful that again, it's almost of non-effect. What the devil meant for evil, God turns that around. Listen, and makes your test a testimony. He makes what you've been through a blessing, even though it may have been a burden. And he helps you to help somebody else. David said, Lord, if you just help me get it together, I won't be so bigoted and acting like I've done it myself. I will teach transgressors your way. I'll tell somebody, I know what it's been like to be on the top and fall down to the bottom and be picked back up again. I will tell them that the devil's way is not the right way. I will show them the right way because I've been there and done that. And see, once you've been delivered, the devil can't, listen, I don't care what you've been or what you've done, if you've been delivered, listen, God restores your worth, your self-worth, your value, your reputation, all of that he restores back to you because you're no longer that anymore. Now, the reason why a whole lot of us can't testify is because we ain't through with our test. And some of us still are what we want to say we are not. And so that's why we can't get up there and say, I used to be this and I used to be that and I used to do this and I used to do that, because we still undercover is this, and because we still do in the dark that. And once we are delivered, we'll be able to say, man, you won't talk about somebody that used to be something. I wasn't something. I was something else. And wouldn't have a problem saying it because you've been delivered. You ain't shame of it. You ain't, it don't matter about somebody start talking about your past. Wait, man, you can't tell it like I can tell it. What the Lord has done for me, I can tell you. You leaving out the best part. If you've been delivered, God restores your honor and your worth, and man, you become a mouthpiece for the Lord. And if you are not that, then you're scared if somebody finds you out. What you've been, what you've done, because you're still not delivered. And so he redeems us with his precious blood and makes us a mouthpiece for the kingdom of God and to help others. See, there are some people right on the brink of deliverance, right there at that place, but they've been in church and around church folk too long, and they feel if they really tell the real story, they won't, you know, have the a level of respect and honor they once had in church. Listen, you need to know there are many of those kind of folk in the church, and maybe if you get your deliverance, you might be able to help some of them get their deliverance. Because listen at this, while they talk about it, don't take all of that shouting and running and this, that, and the other. Get set free. Get delivered. Let the Lord pick you back up and turn you around, and you won't be able to help yourself. You'll have a case of I can't help it. And you won't care who's looking, who's listening, because this glory belongs to God. So we're talking about being redeemed and redemption here. Let's look at the Passover. I want you to see this, because Exodus 12, verse 7 and 13 says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it, talking about the Passover. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now the people of God had a promise from the Lord. And he had already said that he was going to deliver them, and he had already sent Moses, and Moses had already spoken to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened so that he would not do it, and the plagues were coming. Now, this was the plague where the firstborn would be killed by the death angel when he would pass by. But he said to his people, if you will take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and on the top part of the doorpost, he says, listen, in that night when the death angel passes by, when he sees the blood on the door post, he will pass over, not go in and kill the firstborn. That was a token for them, a sign for them that God was with them, and he would pass over them and go to the people and to the place where there was not the blood of sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, for the life, listen at this, of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. If your blood becomes contaminated, it ultimately takes your life. If your blood is too high, if your blood is too low, it affects your mobility and your organs, etc., etc., etc. Here it is. that the life of the body or flesh is in the blood. And so it's the lifeline of the body. It is that thing that makes the body function and flow right. He says, and I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement. The very word atonement means at one ment. And this is where this was used once a year by the high priest to make atonement for the sins of the people. He says, for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And so once a year, annually, the high priest would take the blood of the lamb, and the people who wanted to be forgiven of their sins, listen at this, had to write down all of the sins they wanted to be forgiven. They would then take those sins and again be placed, one goat was said to have been taken, and symbolically those sins would taken and placed on the goat, and that goat would be set free in one place, and they call that the scapegoat, to take the sins away from the people. But here is the problem. They had to record all of the sins that they committed from one year to the next year. If they didn't record those sins and submit those sins so that when the priest would take the blood and go behind the Holy of Holies, which he was the only man capable of going behind those curtains, which the Lord Jesus Christ then rent in two from the top to the bottom and made it available so that whosoever will could come in that place of holy, which is the presence of God, is that job of the high priest was the only man who could go behind the Holy of Holies, take that blood, he would put it on the altar, sacrifice for the sins of the people. If God would receive it, then all would be well. He would come out and shout, Te Telestai. Te Telestai means it is finished. The people would shout and rejoice. For another year they could go on because their sins had been forgiven and they had been put in what was called an atonement state or an at-one-ment state with God. In other words, their conscience was clear. They were free. They felt good for another year. But if they started sinning the next day, they had to write down, brother, that sin. And for 364 more days, keep count of all of the sins. Now look at this. They had to keep a record. So that means you could never forget what you did. From one year to the next, until that time of atonement came, when the blood was sacrificed by the lambs and then given for your souls or their souls at that time to be made right with God. Now, all of this is important to realize because you're going to realize in this Passover experience how Jesus has done something far greater and grander than that for us. Luke 22 and 20 says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, he was that precious Lamb of God. He was the one who would ultimately pay the sacrifice and play the role of the sacrificial lamb for all mankind for all of time. If they would receive him, they would receive the salvation that these people who sacrificed every year their sins and all that had to be recorded and given to the priest so that they could be forgiven. Jesus Christ has taken this and done something far more wonderful than that. Look at what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, when you realize you couldn't do it for yourself, don't care how good you are, think you are not capable of even paying for your own death. He became the Passover lamb for us, the sacrificial lamb for us, and it is through him that we have the right to be called sons and daughters of God. He himself is known as our precious gift. Listen, John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God. What was he doing? Which taketh away the sin of the world. Now John recognized he was the forerunner of Jesus, born 6 months before Jesus, had been anointed and appointed to be this forerunner to broadcast, Jesus is coming. And listen to this, because royalty always had someone to herald and announce who they were. They didn't just show up, they were announced. And anybody that knows anything about royalty knows that royalty don't come in without an announcement. Y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. And so John ran and let these folk know who he was and what he was here to do. Here is the Lamb of God, which is here to take away the sin of the world. Look at John 14 and 6. Jesus said, you know this scripture clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the life that we have in him and we have received from him. It is the eternal life that he's talking about. And he says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Matthew 26, 28 says again, for this is my blood of the New Testament. And see, the Old Testament was a type of Christ, and the lambs and the rams and all those animals that were sacrificed and their blood year after year after year. Jesus, they were just trying to imitate what Jesus was going to do. They couldn't duplicate. So at best, all they could do is imitate. And yet it was a picture of what Jesus was going to do when he finally took center stage. Now I want you to see this. The Bible says, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That was the whole purpose of him giving, shedding his blood for us so that he could remit our sins from us. Romans 3, 24 through 26 says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, man, when you really get the understanding of how powerful this blood is, if Jesus justifies you, can I tell you, can't nobody unjustify you? If he says you're set free, if he says you're delivered, if he says you're right, if he says you're clean, what did he tell Peter? If I call something clean, don't you dare call it unclean. I don't care what it looks like to you. If I've declared it's clean, it's clean. Man looks on the outer parts, but God judges and looks on the heart. And you got a whole lot of folk who are clean on the outside. Clean as the Board of Health, as the old folks say. Sharper than a tack and all of that kind of stuff. And hearts are messed up, dark and dirty on the inside. And that could be a brother or sister whose outward appearance don't look like nothing. They could be dingy and dirty on the outside. But God is looking past all of that and see the pureness of their hearts. And yet that would be the one we would most likely condemn. But thanks be to God, Jesus is my justifier. And you do know justified means just as if. Justify means just as if you didn't do it. Now here's the thing. It didn't say you didn't do it, but he has put you in the position just as if you didn't do it. Because you know when we mess up, fall short, folk always look at us like we still doing it. But when he justifies us, this is one of the reasons why God puts our sin out of his mind. He says, your sin will I remember no more. He's not just doing this for you, though it is a benefit for you. He's doing it for himself. Because he loves you enough not to want to remember what you've prayed and asked him to forgive you for. So if he forgives you for it, he gives us a helpful, holy hint as to how we can best serve in the ministry of forgiveness. Learn how to forget it. Because if you remember the sin or the offense that a brother or sister has made for you, what is the sense of it? It's just occupying good space in your mind. If you truly say you've forgiven. If you've forgiven, that means you need to put it out of your mind, forget about it, act as if it never happened, because if you remember it, you will treat them like they still either is doing it or you really haven't forgiven them for doing it. and you carry the burden of remembering. God's got an infinite memory, and he chooses not to remember stuff like that. What about us? You've got a finite mind, which means you are limited even in your memory space. And sometimes, if you know anything about computers and you've got a limited amount of space, regardless of how much, large or small it is, when you get to the point where you have maximized your space, you got to do one of two things. You got to add more memory, or you got to erase some stuff. Lord, I wish I had some people who understood. And rather than getting more memory, how many of you know that you got some junk files stored up in your memory that you really need to erase? You need to get rid of it, the evidence of it. It ain't gonna serve you. You're not gonna bring it back up again. So why keep it on your computer, on your hard drive? Erase that mess, because there are some good memories God's waiting to put there so you can hold on to them. When you go back down memory lane, it ought not make you cry. It ought to make you laugh and shout and give God glory all over again. Your problem is you keep stumbling over a photograph. Erase that mess. You won't stumble over that no more. Letter. 20 years ago. You done moved on, got 12 children. They done moved on, got 15. What you holding on to that letter for? Some stuff we just need to erase. God does it because he's our justifier. And if he justifies, he don't even want to remember that stuff again. And so if he doesn't remember it, listen to this. God doesn't give us a license to sin, but Jesus Christ, and I'll share this in scripture coming, has paid for every sin for every believer. And that means this: because he knew all things, he knew your life from the embryonic stage to your grave. And he saw every sin you would commit from one point to the other. So when he paid for your sins, listen, he paid for every sin you would commit. And so the payment was perfect. Now there are some sins, listen again, he knew you would not commit. So therefore, he didn't have to pay for those. And so you can't sin a sin that he has not known about before the sin would ever be committed. And so when it would be committed, he's already seen it, because it was past tense even before he paid it, even though you had not even committed it yet. But to do it the way he and only he could do it, he had to pay the penalty in full, because had he left out one sin unpaid for, we would not be able to have eternal life. We would not have total redemption. And so all of that was taken care of. So how many times have you thought about sin, got rid of, and even got in the act of sin and changed your mind? He knew that. That's why you didn't sin that sin. That was not a part of the payment. I want you to hear me. That's how powerful this is. You think you changed your mind. He knew what had happened. He knew that you weren't going through, so he didn't let the devil charge him for that. Only what you have done, only in that you've missed it, gives him the right to stand on your behalf and take care of what you owe when you couldn't do it yourself, because he came to justify us, and he could not justify us if he paid part of our bill. He didn't give us or put us on a layaway plan. He paid our debt in full. Listen to this. He prepared and paved the way to enter into God's presence. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14 says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, close, by the blood of Christ." Sin separates us from the presence of the sovereign. And because sin separates us, when we were in sin, we were separated far from God. Accepting Jesus Christ gave us the privilege to be brought close into the presence of the Lord God. For he is our peace. Listen, you can't have peace outside of the Prince of Peace. Yes. Jesus is the person of peace. We must have the person of peace dwelling on the inside of us in order to experience peace. He is that peace that passeth all understanding, because he has every answer. He knows every detail.